to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, December 30th, and you're listening to episode 83. If I sound oddly excited, it's because this is our big year-end wrap-up show. Woo! Totally blew out the mics there.
Whoa! That soundbar is amazing looking down there.
Look at that. Yeah.
It's just like a solid wall.
Yeah, it's a solid wall of sound, like Phil Spector style.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know that
I
reference.
I know who Phil Spector is.
Okay, good. You do. You finally know a reference that I made to something other than nerd stuff.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Rob. You're Jason.
You know the drill.
Yep. Oh, boy. It's been a year, hasn't it?
It's been a year.
Yeah, boy, man. So we're recording this before Christmas, and hopefully you guys are listening to this before the end of the year.
If you're not, just turn it off. I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
No, no, we still want them to listen.
That's what I said. Yeah, okay. All right, no, good. Just kidding. Don't do that.
Yeah, I hope you had a good Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, I hope you had a fantastic other holiday.
Whatever that was.
Winter holiday time.
Yeah. Hanukkah, I think we already missed that. That was a while ago.
Yeah, probably.
Hanukkah starts earlier than I thought. It's not on my calendar.
You know what's great? I just played the Saints Row 4 DLC, the How the Saints Saved Christmas.
Oh, gosh.
They have a Festivus poll in it. Nice. It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Festivus.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, so how was your Christmas? Or how do you think your Christmas is going to go?
I think it's
going to
be pretty good.
You think it's going to be pretty good?
I hope so.
I hope so for your sake.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I hope yours was good, too.
I hope so. I think mine was great. I expect that mine was great. Because
you're not spending it with any family.
Right. Yes, my wife and I have rented a cabin, and we're just going to get away from our family. We're going just far enough away so that they can't drive up and see us.
You're going to a cabin in the woods like Joss Whedon.
No, it's hopefully a lot less rustic than that.
Well, like computers and stuff, weren't there? Spoiler alert.
No, that was like an Evil Dead style cabin in that movie.
Yeah, but wasn't there stuff happening?
Well, yeah.
Never mind.
Well,
you ruin everything. Hey.
Anyway.
Well, what you been playing, Rob?
What have I been playing? A couple things. We just went to a Christmas sweater party the other weekend. Ugly Christmas sweater party. I won, of course, you know, first prize for having the ugliest Christmas sweater.
Well, at work, they talked about wanting to have a Christmas sweater party, and you said, I don't want to because I don't want to wear my sweater to work because I can't. Yeah. And then I saw a picture of it on Facebook that your lovely wife posted, and now I understand why.
It's inappropriate for work.
Pole dancers.
They're elves who are also pole dancers.
Yeah, and your wife's shirt was cats with lasers burning presents, which was also awesome.
It's pretty awesome, yeah. Yeah, she got third place. I felt a little bad that we won first and third.
Who got second?
Another guy who wore a sweater with a bunch of stuff on it.
Nice.
I think it was kind of a pity vote. But anyway, I won. I rocked it. But at that party, I brought Cards Against Humanity with me, because you know how I do, right? I bring games to every event.
Yeah, but that's a game that people might play at a party. I would have expected you to bring, like, Twilight Imperium to a party like that.
Yeah, well, I know my audience.
You don't. You're terrible at knowing
your audience. I knew this audience.
You're like, old folks home? Let's bring Drunk Quest. You're like, college frat party? Let's bring Twilight Imperium. Let's bring some game nobody wants to play. Or Formula D, which, I reiterate, a game no one wants to play.
Okay. I've been put in my place.
So you brought Cards Against Humanity. Yeah, good for you. That's actually a good match for the party, Rob. I'm impressed.
Yeah, and I think there were about 12 people playing it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good big group. Two of them, apart from me and Christine, had played it before. Everybody else, it was brand new, never seen it before. And that's fun. That is fun when you're playing that with people playing it for the first time, or even the second time. Because there's a lot of cards you don't see the first time around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have probably played that game now probably 12 to 15 times, and I'm kind of bored with it now.
Yeah.
And I've got the expansions. I've got almost all the expansions now, and I'm just not enjoying it anymore. And I've said this before, but I'm feel even more strongly about it now than ever before, that I just don't feel like that game has a long life to it.
I don't think it does either. Well, I think the game cycle, as in how long it's going to be popular, it's going to be a very long time.
Yeah, as more and more people discover it.
But as when you buy it, and how long does it last for you? No.
No,
it's really one of those doesn't. Games that just goes away after a while.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't. I'm probably going to stop bringing it to parties. Period. I've already kind of started to shy away from it, but after that, I mean, as much fun as everybody else had, it just doesn't excite me the way it used to.
You got that American Idol card game from Flip the Table. You could bring that to parties.
I should start bringing that and really impressing people.
Who doesn't want to play that?
Making a lot of good friends. Yeah. So I'm really sad to say that it's a bummer. And those guys, I mean, I still have nothing but respect for them, for what they did, for the business they've built around that, you know. But I hope that they can turn that into more stuff. And I think they're trying to do that. With the tabletop deathmatch, you know, and they've got some other marketing stuff that they've been doing, you know. But I hope that they manage to leverage the popularity of Cards Against Humanity into more games, more stuff.
Because they're clever variety. Guys. They're clever. They're funny. They are. They should be making more stuff.
And hopefully they can see the writing on the wall with that. You know, they can see that and they can understand that, you know, this game, even with expansions added into it, at some point you just get tired of it.
Right.
You've played that game enough that you don't right. care anymore.
I'd be curious if they ever play it anymore.
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder about that.
Because I wouldn't.
If I made that game and I wouldn't either. You're right. Right. I would probably have events where I would invite other people to come and play it and buy copies, but I would just kind of stand outside and watch.
With earplugs in, so you didn't even have to hear.
Well, you know.
Are they laughing? Oh, it's working.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to be too big a jerk or too critical about it.
The fact of the matter is, a lot of games do not have longevity.
It's true, yeah.
We talked about that in the last episode. Right. A lot of games don't have longevity, and that's okay, because you kind of expect that.
Right. I've certainly gotten my money's worth out of it.
Right.
Completely, and I think it has been a lot of other people. And so have a lot of other... And that's... Right. I mean, that alone right there. So how many people have I shared that game with who have gotten just as much enjoyment out of it as I have? Far more probably than any other board game I own.
Right.
So, I mean, for that, it's still a wonderful value as far as the game goes. Yeah. So, anyway, I think that's kind of the last word I'm going to have on Cards Against Humanity.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I feel like I'm kind of... I've reached a point of being done with that subject. So, New Year's resolution, I'm not going to talk about playing Cards Against Humanity ever again.
Ooh, New Year's resolutions, we're going
to
do that?
I'm going to try really hard not to talk about it.
So, to try and not be negative then.
Okay.
I'll make a New Year's resolution. This is really hard for me. I want you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I will try not to bash Formula D anymore.
Oh, whoa. You're just volunteering that?
I'm going to try.
Holy cow, man. I didn't even ask for that. I'm shocked.
I will probably... Well, but I just realized that I complain about the game a lot. So, which is not fair, because... Some people probably think it's a good game. It's not, but they might think that. So I had to get one last day.
It's not the new year yet, so you're still great. Okay.
So I may say more things on this show about it, but no, I'm going to try and stop bashing that.
Okay.
We try and be positive. We don't bash many games.
No.
And that's kind of my favorite one. Maybe I'll try and find a new game to make fun of next year.
There you go. Good luck.
So
I hope you have some success with that. Yeah. The other thing I played is I got a play test in of Deified. A game I pitched a couple 3 weeks ago, something like that.
Yep.
About, you know, the area control game, getting your profit from the hut to the temple. Christine and I did a play test of that a couple of weeks ago, and it went pretty well. I learned a lot, and I've got a lot of changes to do for that. Some big structure changes to the way the board is laid out. But I think that is a game that has a lot of potential and could have some real legs to it. I think it's something that I'll probably try and pursue in the new year at some point.
Cool.
You know,
I support that.
Yeah.
It looks like fun.
And you and I still haven't had a chance to play it. We need to try that soon.
Definitely want to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, so that's the other thing I've been working on. I just wanted to mention that to anybody who was interested. I have not forgotten it. Don't worry. How about yourself?
Speaking of games we pitched recently, I pitched a while back, not too long ago, Scrapyard Cats.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was super, super exciting to pitch that. I pitched it, and you and I kind of said, let's try and move forward with this a little bit. And I was trying to rope you into helping me move forward with it. And and you were semi-interested in that at the time. But pretty quickly after the show published, I get some Google chat messages from our friend Neil Roberts, who we'd actually talked about helping us with programming stuff. And he had some really good ideas. And even though we nixed the programming idea, he was still very interested in helping with the game. So him and I started going back and forth, like, pretty heavily about it, to the point where you finally said, dude, I'm just going to step away from this. You guys work on that.
Yeah, I mean, because I hadn't really contributed anything to the to the game for a long time.
Right, except since the initial concept when we really...
Right.
But you were still core in helping us come up with that concept.
Sure.
So Neil and I started going back and forth, and so we started writing rules for it, and we're kind of co-designing this now, and got some playtests under our belt. And I think I'm going to have it in Unpub.
Exciting. Very cool.
I mean, it'll be an ugly prototype, but that's fine.
Whatever.
I'll have it in Unpub. We kind of stripped it down to be a 54 card game, 54 cards to match with the Dice Hate Me challenge, because Neil said he was thinking about that, and he was thinking about this game, and he was like, dude, you can make this game fit that, and it would actually benefit the game, because it'll slim it down.
Sure.
And he was totally right. So we went back and forth, and I've just been really happy with the progress that we've made. The playtest went pretty well. You and I, when we playtested, found some pretty good flaws that were pretty fixable, and some things that I had kind of had as holdovers from the original design that were just unnecessary, and you know, we ended up with one of the things that I came up with when Neil and I were talking was, and I don't think I talked about this in the show, but was the idea that each cat would have its own variable player power, its own bonus. And I think I did mention that. But we also wanted kind of a catch-up mechanic. So the idea came around that what if the cat also had a drawback that activated after they... Because the idea is to build two machines, right?
Yeah.
Build machine one, you lose your special ability, and instead gain a drawback. So it helps to catch up. Well,
I think that's a really cool idea.
And it was. It had some issues. So we ended up tweaking it, and now it's even better. So we had some issues, which were that... trying to balance how harsh it was. Like, some cats just felt like theirs was worse than others. So then something occurred to me, which was, why don't we just put it on the blueprints? So the machines you make. So when you look at a machine that you're trying to make, you can see what it takes to make the machine, and then you can see what the drawback is for making that machine. So what ends up happening is you can choose. You can be like, I could make this right now, but oh, that drawback is terrible. And in a two-player game, you have to make three parts, which means you're going to get hit with two of those. And some of the drawbacks are nasty. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Actually, tonight, as we record this, Neil should be testing, and he's going to give me feedback. And then tomorrow, tomorrow night, I'll print another copy of it. And my wife and I will get a playtest in. And then hopefully at that point, we'll be ready to submit it to that contest thing. And yeah, we'll see where it goes from there. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming we'll get it in for the contest in time. That's kind of the hope, because we might as well. I mean, if nothing comes of it, nothing comes of it. It's not a big deal. It was just kind of a nice, forceful reason to get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I've been playing. I think probably now is a good time for us to roll into the whole year-end wrap-up thing, where we kind of talk about all the different things. We pretty much stole the format from the last year's. We did add in a couple more questions because we've done some different stuff this year, so I wanted to make sure we highlighted those. We didn't eliminate any questions, so we have everything in there. Some of the answers are probably briefer than they were last year for some things. They don't apply as much as they used to.
Right. We've evolved along with...
Right, which is, you know, I went back before we recorded today and listened to that episode again, and... Some of the things we talked about, I'm like, I don't even remember us talking about.
Well, like
that.
What? That's... We can start there, you know?
One of the things we talked about was how we intended at that point for you and I to work specifically together to try and publish something under like the BTG header.
Said that?
We did say that.
Whoa.
And I don't know.
Oops.
I don't even remember us really deciding that. We did work together on a game, which I put through Kickstarter, and it didn't come out yet.
No.
but it'll come out soon. So on that note, we've been having some real issues with the printer.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Some real issues with the printer, and it's been really frustrating. And it's funny, somebody actually, one of our friends of the show, I won't mention their name, but they emailed me and they said, hey, I'm looking for a printer. Would you recommend them? Will you ever use them again? And honestly... if they come up with a good product, I probably would use them again.
Yeah.
And that's because some of the issues have been on our side, just not knowing what they need. And now that we've kind of hit that learning curve, because they're not super good at giving us information like, hey, this is what we're going to do. You know, this is what you need.
Yeah.
They gave us a file that said what they needed, what we needed, that they should have given us 6 months ago. And they gave it to us now. Even though we've been asking questions.
We've been asking these same questions and asking for the same information for 6 months, and they finally gave it to us a week ago saying, oh gosh, Jeff, we thought you already knew all this stuff.
Yeah.
Which means I have to redo basically all the cards from scratch.
Right. Now, luckily, a lot of the time for that goes into designing, which you've completed that. So that's going to save you a lot of time,
but
it's a pretty big pain in the butt.
Man. And so I'm not going to be able to do it until after the holidays now because I've got other stuff.
Right.
So happening. So I feel really bad about that.
Right. Well, and it's not, I mean, it is what it is. It's frustrating because, you know, you know what you want to do for your backers and, you know, one of the nice things, I got some of the stuff out to the backers, people who were like, their kids are actually in the game. We got all their photos out to them. So they'll have those for Christmas. And we sent out the card that people can print off to give for Christmas if they were counting this as a Christmas present.
Yeah.
But it turns out we're not the only ones having these issues with the printer. We talked to a friend of ours who's using them, and based on their updates, we thought, oh, this sounds like they're having problems. And so we contacted them directly, and sure enough, they're having all sorts of problems, just like we are. So there's a bonus update on that.
Yeah. So a steep learning curve to kind of figure, work your way through all that printer's quirks. But, you know, if it comes time to do game number two, you already know all the quirks for this printer now. So, you know, might as well use them again, I guess.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've seen their work. They do a good job.
Yeah, they do.
They're well-priced. We don't have to deal with foreign countries. I can go pick them up from my house. Like, they're right, like, 30 minutes away.
Right. Which is nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to do it. So, anyways.
Anyway, okay.
So, I'll ask the questions, if that's cool.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So, the first question, what was the best new game you played this year?
Oh, man. The best new game I played this year, it's got to be Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, gosh. I forgot about that. You're right. I had a different game down, but gosh, you're right.
Yeah, the other night when Christine and I playtested Deify, we played that, I felt pretty good about it. She had a lot of really comments, but then we're sitting there, we're kind of in game mode. She's like, can we play Phantom of the Opera? Yes. Yes, we can.
Always.
Yeah, so I mean, it's since I found it, it has hit the table for Christine and I more than anything else. I would say that a close second is Morels.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Morels, we've really, really enjoyed a lot. That's an older one that we just never got around to trying until now. But Phantom of the Opera is brand new this year, new to us. It's just a really exciting and compelling two-player experience.
I still would argue it's probably the best two-player game I've ever played.
I think it might be.
And the designer is an awesome dude. And that Bruno de Cathala is just a super nice guy, and that helps too. When the designer is not as nice, it's not as cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked about Phantom of the Opera, I mean, just so much that I'm sure the listeners are sick and tired of it. But
right. If you haven't played it, please go get it.
Yeah. We don't really do Game of the Year stuff because we don't have the chance to play everything.
Right.
You know, and so we don't... We wouldn't say this is the best game of the year, but it definitely was my favorite of everything that I played the first time. Everything that I played for the first time this year.
Right.
By far my favorite.
I would say that, if BTG gave out the BTG favorite game of the year, it would be that.
Yeah.
With hands down. We don't give that out, but if we did, it'd be that game. So actually what I put for my favorite game was Love Letter, because I haven't played Phantom in a while and I forgot.
Love Letter's a great...
Love Letter is definitely a close second for me.
Yeah.
But... you can't beat Phantom of the Opera. It's just so amazing. I really want to go home and play that game right now.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you guys later. So, all right. So, next question. What was your favorite part of Gen Con? And can I answer this one first?
Yes, go ahead.
That way, in case we have the same answer.
Yeah.
I think my favorite thing was the in-room recordings we did, where we just hung out in the room with other designers and friends and drank beer and talked about stuff. Man, it's hard to get better than those roundtables.
It's true.
Because you're talking shop with friends who also are designers, who are experiencing Gen Con together, and it just doesn't get much better than that, you know? I mean, I just love, love, love that. So that was my favorite thing about Gen Con this year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was great. I think... So the question is, favorite part of Gen Con? See, I'm having trouble disagreeing with you on that, but I feel like I should say the most exciting part of Gen Con for me was being involved in the deathmatch.
Well, yeah, that's fair. That's very fair.
because I don't want to call that my favorite part, because that was really stressful.
Yeah, and it was kind of a pain a few times.
Yeah, it got to be kind of aggravating at times. So probably the most exciting and most unique thing that I experienced at Gen Con was being a part of the tabletop deathmatch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still crossing my fingers that something will come of that. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
Someday we'll all get to hear about it.
Right. Someday we'll know more. Getting Rocket Wreckers accepted as a finalist in that, and is, you know, getting the acceptance and then having to just go crazy hard between the day I got the thumbs up to, you know, getting to Gen Con, crazy, crazy hard to get that game from real basic rough sketch to playable game that was working was, man, that was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then getting there and being a part of the contest and meeting all the other finalists.
Man. A lot of which were super cool people.
Oh, yeah. Everybody I met was fantastic. And we've stayed in touch on Twitter and by email since then. And they all seem to really be good people and, like, really just, they know, we're all the same kind of person. You know, we all are just passionate about this hobby, about game design, and everybody just wants everybody else to be successful. And that's really a lot of fun. So making those friends, making those connections was really super, super great and made Gen Con 2013 probably the most memorable one I've had so far, by far.
They get better every year, man.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. This is something that's a little different for us this year than last year, but, and I will let you go first. What was your favorite Kickstarter, or what are your thoughts about Kickstarter?
Well, you know, I had a hard time picking something for this year because I've kind of had a little bit of a sea change in my feelings about Kickstarter from last year to this year. It occurred to me at some point this year that of all the games that I've bought in Kickstarter, and I think I've bought about 8 or 10, less than half of them I've actually played. And some of them...
I have that issue, too.
Some of them I haven't played because they haven't shown up yet.
Right.
You know, and that they're 4, 6, 8, 10 months behind their expected, you know, delivery date. And that's really frustrating. And I have so many games already, so many games, and I have a bunch of games that I just haven't played.
Right.
I've kind of sworn off of Kickstarter, and I feel kind of bad saying that. But I'm not sure that Kickstarter is giving me the value that I want. It's not giving me the return on my investment that I want. Because, I mean, that's what Kickstarter is. You know, you're giving your money to somebody so they can help make their passion project, and you're hoping that in return you get a fun experience out of it.
Right.
And I'm just not sure that I'm getting that fun return that I want.
Yeah, it's tough because I know you want to support that as part of the community.
Absolutely, I do. And of course, we can't back everything.
Right.
We just can't afford that.
Well, like recently I saw there was that CoinAge Kickstarter. Did you see that on there?
Oh, man, that went crazy.
And it was like, well, pay what you want.
Yeah.
And most people, I think, give like $5 is the idea. And I think I missed it, but it looked cool. Like, and I was like, I should back this. But I kind of been taking a break from backing stuff for a while. Yeah. Just because, you know, you spend a lot of money on there.
Can spend a lot of money on there. Like, you know, like I bought the first two expansions for Sentinels of the Multiverse, for example. Haven't even pulled off the shrink wrap on either one of them.
Right.
And I really like Sentinels, but I didn't get tired of the base game yet.
Right.
You know, and I really like the base game, but before I spent money on an expansion, I should have spent more time playing the core game.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the kind of thing that I've got so many other games that I just haven't really exhausted my fun out of them yet, I guess. Or I don't feel like I've really played it all the way through and really understand it as well, you know?
Right.
And then I want to focus more on some stuff that I've already got.
Yep. It's understandable.
So I don't really, yeah. So to answer the question, I don't really have a favorite Kickstarter this year, other than Water Balloon Washout. Just to have been so closely exposed to it and kind of see it from the inside and experience of that. So it's certainly, I would say, the most memorable Kickstarter of the year for me.
Right. Me, probably my most memorable one, too. I think if I had to pick a favorite, it would be anything but Water Balloon Washout. because running Kickstarter, as most people know, is very stressful. It's very time consuming. Will I do it again someday? I, I'm sure I'll forget how hard and tough it was.
It's like having a kid, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll do it again. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is we got through it. Like, we made it.
Yeah.
And we learned a lot of lessons that could go into doing another one that should help it be easier to achieve, and not such a, you know, tooth and nail fight like we had to get to our goal.
Right.
So, yeah. I enjoyed the process, but I also enjoy watching them from afar. Mm-hmm. And watching them go crazy and not having to deal with it.
Not having the stress of it on you all day, every day for a month.
Here's a tough question.
Ooh.
What was your favorite episode of the show?
Oh, man. Favorite episode of the show?
I mean, we produced 52 episodes this year. So, and that's not including bonus episodes. By the way, our total count right now, we're 83 episodes, 27 bonus episodes. That is 110 episodes total.
More than 110 hours of content.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Wow, 110 total, including bonuses. Wow, that's great, man.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Wow. Wow, I can't believe people have stuck with us for this long.
So, I can think of a favorite episode,
mm-hmm.
Which is, it's a cop-out answer, but it's totally true. It was the BTG live show.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you can't compete with the fact that we did it in front of a studio audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was,
having, not studio, convention audience.
Convention audience, whatever. Recorded in front of a live convention audience. It was just so great to have the feedback and how they were able to stump us for the most part, and then they had to help dig us out of the hole that they created.
Right. You know? That was super fun.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, I'm struggling. I can't think of anything I liked better.
No, I mean, I was looking back at the episode list, and I mean, we had some really good interviews. We had some great episodes we did as part of our, you know, guest designer series where people came on and helped host with us, mm-hmm. and had some awesome stuff. But it doesn't get better than, you know, the live audience with the fans. And that was so much fun. And that's something we'll definitely do again next year. So,
yeah, absolutely. I thought I might take a chance here to read back through some of the guests that we've had on the show. We had Anissa Jones, we had John Mahler, we had Chevy Dodd on several shows. We had Jeremiah Lee, we had AJ Porfirio, we had Brian LaBurge, we had Grant Wilson, we had
Grant Rodiak.
Grant Rodiak, yes. We had I'm just scanning through the list here. We had Jason Katarski. We had the guys from Sparks Games. We've had so many exciting people. Oh, at Grand Con, we had Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback at Grand Con.
We had the guys from Split Second Games.
Split Second Games, right. Yeah, I mean, we had so many great guests on the show. We had our exciting 2-hour-long bonus live show with Steve and Jessica from Gita Games.
Yep.
I mean, holy cow, what a year.
It's been quite the year for guests.
We've met a lot of people, talked to a lot of exciting people.
We have. We had, I mean, we can't even name everyone that was in our roundtable recordings.
Yes, right.
I mean, there were so many. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It was great.
It was a blast. Yeah. Anyway, go on. Next question.
All right. What was your favorite pitch that I did?
My favorite pitch?
Favorite idea that I had.
That you had. Oh, my favorite game that you pitched. I think the one that I like, that I still think is kind of has the most potential, that just kind of on a basic level is still a really exciting concept, is Transylvania Trading.
Yeah.
You know, and you prototyped that, and I still haven't had a chance to play the prototype. I think you've only tested it a couple times.
Yeah, but you weren't in those.
Right. I wasn't involved in that. But I think that's still one of the most interesting concepts, that idea of a caravan going around the countryside in Transylvania and trying to buy and sell goods and occasionally drop off a werewolf to terrorize a small village.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a fun, still a really fun idea.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So along those lines, that is probably my favorite. A really close second, only because I feel like it's the most unique idea I've ever come up with, mm-hmm. is the Burning Bridges game.
I feel like that needs to be fleshed out more.
Before
I would have picked it.
Yeah, I agree. But that was why I gave it a close second. But yeah, mm-hmm. Transylvanian Trading Company is the pitch that I was most happy with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
just as a core concept, I mean, as a setup, as a theme, as the mechanics that you present with that idea, I think that's a really exciting combo there.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. I think for yours, I picked a game you pitched a long time ago, this year, but and it was one of the most different games you pitched. which is Fractured Arms.
Oh, really?
It just, there's something about that that still captivates me whenever I think about it.
Yeah.
You know, Fractured Arms is the idea that you're playing as these living weapons mm-hmm. being wielded by other people. And it was an RPG-ish idea.
It was an RPG, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really like that. But I did pick a second one
because of
being board gamey and not want to just pick an RPG as your best pitch. My close second would have been Deified.
Yeah.
Only because, too, like, I love when we come up with ideas that are kind of like out of our comfort zone mm-hmm. for how we design. And I felt like that one for you was the way that it works is different than a lot of things I've seen you do.
It is, yeah.
And mm-hmm. so that always kind of captures my attention. And I know I haven't got to play it yet, so I can't say that I love the prototype, but I know you've been getting good feedback on it and stuff. And mm-hmm. And I just really, I really like that
okay.
about it. So those are probably my top two.
Okay. Thanks. So. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could comment on my own favorites.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that I never really did anything with. I still agree with you. Fractured Arms, I think, is still a really fun idea. And I, you know, I really would like to pursue that more at some point. I'm just not sure that I'm not that big an RPG person, you know?
Right.
I feel like that might be the kind of thing that if I partnered with somebody else to kind of help pursue that, somebody who is a little bit more focused, knew a little bit more about RPGs.
RPGs, yeah.
You know, because I still kind of feel like I haven't played enough. Maybe there's an existing system out there that would serve that really well, and that coming up with my own system for that, my own, you know, maybe that's a waste of time. Maybe that's a, you know, unnecessary. Anyway, but I think one of the really fun ones that I never really took it past the pitch was that monster battle game.
Yeah.
You know, where it was a two-player game, because you know how much I like two-player games.
You do.
And it was the card game where each player is some kind of mythical beast, like a Pegasus or a Cyclops or something, an old Ray Harryhausen style monster, stop motion stuff, you know, some kind of classic monster where you're battling, you're playing cards. But the thing that I thought was really most exciting about it was that that you don't have a health track. Your health, how much health you have left is how many cards you have left in your deck.
Yep.
You know, and when your deck runs out, your monster dies. Yep. And when you're playing cards to do damage to the other player, they're discarding cards from their deck.
Right.
And
which hurts them on two levels.
Right, right. They lose health and they lose abilities and special powers and stuff.
Right.
And I think that's a really, still a really cool idea. It was originally pitched as an offset card game, offset card system
yep.
game. I have struggled so much with the offset card system that I think maybe it would be better off as a more conventional card game.
Yeah, I could see that it still, you know, would be unique enough because of the play
right,
style
right.
that I think it would still stand out.
I think so. So yeah, so I still think that's a really cool concept. It'd be fun to get back to that sometime.
It would. So now we're going to mm-hmm. talk about what each other's favorite prototypes were.
Aha.
So my favorite prototype of yours. Mm-hmm. Hands down, nothing even close, was Maelstrom.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic game.
I'm really super happy with it.
And that is the first game like that either of us has designed. Like, it's, that's probably not true, but it's one of the best examples of like when we played it the first time, even though with Maelstrom, the first time we played
it. First time was a disaster.
There were so many flaws. It was
terrible.
But when we finished playing, I said, this is a real game. Like, you have a game here.
Yeah.
It needs a lot of work, but this is a game
yeah.
that's really fun. And it is really fun now, you know, and that's, yeah. So yeah, that, I mean, don't get me wrong. I really enjoy Rocket Wreckers. I played that a dozen times,
mm-hmm.
but man, Maelstrom. And it's just, it's so appealing, like as a game in general, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's got so many things going for it. And then it's just really fun. I mean, I've played that game so many times because when we were demoing it, I would just tag on and play as the third or fourth player.
Yeah.
And oh, it's just so good.
Yeah, I know. I listeners, we've got that print and play still on the website, ready for you to go. Jason's freaking out because there's a bug in here.
The bug just startled me again.
You're kind of like a little girl that way.
I didn't scream.
No.
I just went.
Yeah, listeners, just your quick reminder, there's a free print and play on the website for Maelstrom. If you guys want to give it a try, it's an easy printout, no cards to cut out. You know, it's a board and some pieces. It's a real simple setup for you.
It is, and it's worth it.
Yeah, so I would love any feedback anybody wants to give me on that. You know, I agree. Maelstrom, I've been so happy with it. it plays so well. And I talked a couple of weeks ago how I got a rejection on it, you know, and that's a bummer. And with the holidays coming up and with getting Rumplebum ready, I just haven't had a chance to get back to it and start resubmitting it anywhere. But it's definitely something I need to do in the new year is start getting more copies of Maelstrom sent out to publishers, because I really think it's the most publishable game that I've come up with so far.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it may be the most publishable game that either of us have come up with so far. So
yeah. My favorite prototype that you put together was definitely Sandbox Showdown, which I still think is one of the coolest themes that either one of us has ever come up with. It's totally unique and totally fits the style of the gameplay. The area control, it's kind of like playing cards, but they're tiles, so it feels different, it looks different. You're trying to control a sandbox. The four different factions of toys that you built to fit into that, I think they're balanced really well. For the most part, yeah. I mean, I'm not as intense a player as some of the guys who tested it for you. I think that's a really, really cool game.
Thanks. That's my one I have listed as my favorite prototype as well. I was really happy with how it turned out. I did a lot of the work on my own. Mm-hmm. You helped me lay some stuff out, but that game really helped me learn a lot more about Photoshop and mm-hmm. things I could do with it, which helped me in a lot of different ways, you know, mm-hmm. so that was cool. But yeah, I agree. I think it's a game where I have the most potential with and the things I could do with.
Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely have it at Unpub to show people. And yeah, so that certainly is mm-hmm. certainly is my favorite as well. All right, so we moved out of favorite things. But we're into some new territory here.
New?
Well, no, we answered this question last year, but new territory is, and it's not like what's my favorite of yours or what's favorite of he said, she said, we said.
Yeah.
It is. What do you think the best thing about doing a podcast is?
We probably said last year meeting people.
Yeah, we did say that.
We said that.
And that probably is still the thing, so let's take that off the table.
Yeah, that's, we can't say that again.
Because it's the best thing. But so.
Yeah, it is.
Let's say something else.
Oh, man, that makes it hard. Well, if I can be kind of selfish for a minute, it's when you send me stats, you know.
Oh God!
You
know,
when you send me stats and you tell me how many people have downloaded the show this week or this month or so far since the beginning, and it's been seeing those numbers increasing.
Right.
I mean, we're not afraid to say it. I mean, our listeners, our audience has grown by leaps and bounds this year.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled about that. And
to the point where we're like, how did that happen?
Yeah, right. Right. Like, I think today I got 9 new followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that happened. How did they find me? What is that all about? I wasn't even on the last episode of Something From Nothing.
And what's super promising about that is I got 9 new followers as well.
Yeah.
And I follow the podcast and I see that the podcast gets a lot. So, you know, I mean, it's very gratifying when you get followed by someone and they follow the podcast, you and me, because it means, wow, they really like our show and they're listening.
Yeah, they're paying attention. Yeah, that's really exciting.
And it's not like, it's not just like, oh gosh, these numbers are awesome and that makes me feel good. It's like, we're doing something right.
We're doing something that people like.
Yeah, because the audience is growing. And when you haven't had anything published yet, it feels really good. At least the people are listening to you.
Mm-hmm. At least somebody finds us at least kind of sadly entertaining. I don't know.
It is, you know, it is crazy to see the growth, you know, knowing that where we started 83 episodes ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, yeah, I worry that no one would listen to our show.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not a problem. I mean,
doesn't seem to be. Thank goodness.
And because of that, we've met so many awesome people.
Right.
To get back on the meeting people thing, but I mean, it's been such a good conduit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, like I said several weeks ago, you know, I mean, if I never get a game published, if all I ever do is put stuff up on GameCrafter, you know, for print on demand, I'm okay with that because I'm just having a good time.
Yep.
And I'm having a good time because I know people out there. The evidence shows the people out there are also enjoying what I'm doing too.
Right.
And that's extremely rewarding and I'm so thankful for that.
And that's the thing. I mean, if I don't care how much money we were making at it, if we were like publishing lots of games, if it wasn't fun, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very thankful that I still think one of my favorite things about doing the podcast is that the focus it causes. I mean, like last week I pitched a game that I was happy with, and I came up with that game in an afternoon because I needed to get a pitch ready for the show. And you know, it turned out to be one of those happy things where it's like, I need a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the show, I focused and I got something ready that I ended up being really happy with. So, you know, I mean, that's just, the show is awesome for that. Doing a podcast is cool.
It is. It's fun.
Makes you feel good about yourself.
Except when the freaking computer crashes. I hate that.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
That is the worst part.
Stupid computer.
All right. I'll start with this one because I keep putting you on the spot. So I'll start with this one.
It's fine.
What would you do differently next year? And I thought a lot about this based on what we said in the last year, the last year end about, we're going to publish this, and we didn't in time. And so I want to publish something. Like Water Balloon Washout is going to come out. I mean, early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get the printer stuff sorted out. It'll come out. I hope to publish something else, even if it's on my own, even if it's just something simple, and even if it doesn't go through Kickstarter, you know? I mean, the fact that you put a game on the Game Crafter, like you publish that and put it out there, like, that feels great. I mean, you talked about that when you first did it. Like, that's the first thing that really is available for sale. Like, legit, like, here's my money. Immediately send me a copy. Not, it's a Kickstarter, you know what I mean? So, that's kind of awesome. And I want to do more of that.
Yeah.
Last year, one of my big goals, I just want to point this out because I was really happy with this. Last year, one of my big goals, and yours too, was we needed to do more prototyping in 2013, and we knocked that out of the park.
Oh, man, we did a lot.
That's something that we did really good with.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to say that we did awesome with that.
Yeah.
Not everyone was a gem.
Not every prototype was awesome.
But we made a lot of prototypes.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I think the year before I made 2 or 3 total. Yeah. And you were probably right about the same.
I think so. And maybe, I think 2, maybe.
Between the two of us, we've made over a dozen this year.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that feels pretty good.
Yeah, because even if they're not awesome, it's awesome to get it done. It's awesome to get that practice in. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's tell me the question again. Is it what I want to do or what I'm going to do? Or
what would you do differently next year?
Differently.
So, like, something you feel like you could do better next year.
I could do better. Pitch meetings at Gen Con.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I really dropped the ball this year. I sent my emails out too late. I was not ready. I was distracted by the deathmatch. I was too focused on the deathmatch and didn't give myself the room to really get pitch meetings set up with publishers.
And what didn't help was your product that was most ready to be pitched to publishers
was in the deathmatch. Yeah, it's true.
And you had Legacy, and that's a cool game. Frankenstein's Legacy, that's great. But like the game you were most ready and I think was the easiest to sell.
Yeah.
You
was committed already.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, so if I can't get a publisher before Gen Con, or if I can't get a publisher for Maelstrom before Gen Con, I'm going to make sure that I have Maelstrom in tip-top shape, ready to go. So I need to do better on that.
Right, and for me this time, that would probably be Gunslinger and Ramblers. If I haven't found somebody to give that to beforehand,
yeah,
that'll be my same type of thing. But
sure.
Pitch meetings, that's a great one, and that's something a lot of people can learn from, too.
I think so, yeah.
More of those.
Yeah.
All right. What new game are you most excited about with coming out in 2014?
Water Balloon Washout.
That's my answer. It's funny because we actually put that on the last one, and I almost took it out, but it was just a reason to talk about Water Balloon Washout again. So because last year we both said Castellan. Like, that was hands down, that was our...
You know what? I've played it once since Gen Con. Because I was been so excited about Phantom of the Opera and Morales.
Right. I played Castellan, and it's great. It's as good as I remember. Yeah. But it's not...
It's not as good as those other two games that we got.
Plus, that game, I think, is more fun with 4 people. And we haven't got together to play it. And we have to get together with each other to play it.
Yeah.
Because you need 2 sets.
You need 2 sets, right. So. Yeah, but seriously, I mean, as far as why I'm really excited about Water Balloon Washout, I mean, there are a lot of reasons for me. I mean, because it's a product that was born from this show. That's exciting. It's because it's something that you made, and I've played it, and I enjoy the game. That's exciting. But it's also going to be like the first for real, legit printed product that I had a part in making.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not doing the artwork, but I'm doing the design, the layout,
Which is, you know, I mean, for people that don't understand what that means, a lot of people might be like, oh, so you just laid the cards out. There's a lot that goes into that. I mean, you designed icons and, you know, there's a lot more that goes into doing layout than what you would mm-hmm. think is just like layout.
So. Yeah. And I've learned a lot through that, through the process of putting this together. And I'm looking forward to seeing the end result of that.
You and me both, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, a water balloon washout. I want to see the end result of that. I'm really looking forward to that.
Cool. Me too. Me too. And several listeners are as well.
Yeah.
Last question.
Okay.
Last question. What are you looking forward to most for the show in 2014?
Episode 100. That's the same
exact
thing,
same thing I have on my list.
That's the one. I don't know what we're going to do for episode 100. It's coming soon, though.
It's just, it's such a milestone. And it's so cool to me that that was immediately your answer. Like,
yeah.
A lot of these answers you thought
about,
but like,
yeah.
That was me too. When I was filling this out today, I was like, it's episode 100. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't even, it's just a milestone, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's I huge. Said, if we, I think I said this before, if we were a sitcom, we could totally go into syndication.
Yeah.
right. On TBS.
Yeah.
5 nights a week.
Uh-huh.
Make bank.
Yeah. We're not a sitcom, sadly.
No, we're not.
But yeah. I mean, that's, does it really mean anything? Whatever. Like we said, we're already at 110 technically.
Right.
You know, so maybe it's just a number, but it's a real number. I mean,
it's a number that we can feel good about. I mean, we very well could break 200 full episodes next mm-hmm. year. I mean, not including bonus episodes.
Including bonus,
I mean, so, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy, mm-hmm. but is kind of awesome. You know, I mean, it just, to think when we recorded that first episode that we would be here. Still recording, you know, 83 episodes later,
mm-hmm.
people who are listening, we're having a good time. We're learning so much. We people that feel like people are learning from our mistakes and from our successes and our failures.
So.
And man, that's just, that feels mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
And so episode 100 just feels like this kind of this thing in the sky mm-hmm. that we're trying to reach for.
Yeah.
And once we get there, it'll be a total letdown. It won't be nearly as awesome as we want it to be, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. We'll record that and we'll record it 2 weeks before it posts and we'll just... We'll feel really, really kind of let down when it's all over with.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, God, another 100 to go now. But after episode 100, it's going to be next year's live show at Gen Con.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped about that. That's going to be great.
Yep.
And last year was fun. This year's going to be great.
And I think next year we'll probably have a better turnout. We didn't have a packed house, but we had enough people. And so many of them were right in there talking, asking questions, and that was awesome because that's the point.
Right.
If we had 1,000 people in the room and only 3 asked questions, I would not consider that a huge success because it means they're not interacting, and that's the whole point is to interact. So, that and our Gen Con sit downs again is going to be awesome. So.
Yeah. That's it for the questions that we brought, right?
Yep, and I think we have some questions from some people.
We do. The first question that I got here was from Corey Young. He says, in terms of games, for what will 2013 be remembered? And he thought that his vote is for the Doom that came to Atlantic City. Now, some of you might remember that deal. That was a failed Kickstarter. It was a successful Kickstarter, I should say, for a Cthulhu-themed Monopoly-style board game called The Doom That Came to Atlantic City. It was hugely successful on Twitter, on Kickstarter. Made buckets of money. I'm not sure what the final total was. Here it is. Raised over $122,000. Tons of minis and artwork and all kinds of crazy stuff on it, and it went into just kind of got wrapped up in development, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere the developer or the designer just kind of months after having no responses to anybody came back and said, hey guys, sorry, I'm not going to make this game anymore. I spent all your money, sorry, too bad, good luck. And people freaked out over this.
Well, yeah, because I mean,
with good reason.
Wildly successful, and that was the publisher that said that.
Publisher, thank you. Yeah,
not the designer.
Not the designer. You're right. Forgive me. I'm sorry. The designer. You're right. The designer came out almost immediately after that and said, "Holy cow! I was as in the dark as all of you guys were. I don't know what to do about it." It was totally the publisher's fault. But then, in the last second, there, Cryptozoic swooped in and bought it and resurrected it. And I don't think it's come out yet, but they're working on it, and they've decided to make good on all those backer pledges,
which is amazing.
Yeah, good for Cryptozoic.
Yep.
I mean, they bought so much goodwill to the community with the community.
And maybe not everybody knows about that, and they might not remember 2013 for that, but you should, because
that was huge,
and that's awesome.
That's huge. And Corey, thank you for that comment. I think that's a great, great point. I don't think I can come up with a more memorable event from 2013.
Hey, we have a email here from a guy named Seth Goslin. And he said, hello, I love your show. I recently found out about it via the Happy Mitten podcast. Hey, thanks, hey. Happy Mitten, guys.
Yeah, we love Happy Mitten.
Have been really enjoying it. The format you came up with is really good for getting a variety of interesting and fresh topics in each episode, between what you've been playing to mechanic of the week, practicing the pitch. There's always at least one topic that that sparks some good conversation and gets wheels turning in my mind. That's awesome. That's what we want. He's only up to episode 48 right now. Wow, he's just burning through these things. That's great.
Yeah.
And he hasn't felt like he had a reason to email, but he did have an idea he was sitting on. We talked about Clue a while back.
Okay.
And he suggested, now he was saying the roll and move part of Clue kind of blows, which we all agree with.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like a different kind of Clue somebody has invented where like you use action points to move it. But he actually took that a step further and suggested, it's a pretty large email. So, what he suggested was adding role selection to it.
Oh.
So that, you know, each person would be able to do something different. And then introducing a go fish style mechanic to where you could ask for stuff and then make a roll to see if you could actually get it, which is a really cool idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So like one person is better at like I said, Miss Scarlet's really good at reading people. So she would get a bonus to guessing the person in that 3-card thing where you say the room, the person, the weapon.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe Professor Fulham would be good with the rooms. And so that's a really cool idea. I like that. And I like thinking about games like that where you can, you know, kind of reformat old games and do some stuff with, you know?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Another year-end question here from Ben Pinchback. He says, as a designer, what game this year inspired you the most? What do you think?
Based on the fact that I've designed 2 micro games now, it's probably Love Letter.
That's a good point.
I mean, I would love to say... So Phantom of the Opera to me... What was so exciting about that was it really showed me the dynamic, the amazing depth and dynamic you can have with a 2-player game that's simple to learn. But Love Letter really did that too, where it showed me, like, look how few cards you have and look how much depth this game has.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's probably my, it's probably what I would have to say. Yeah, I can't think of any other specific ones that super made me be like, oh, wow, this is, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Games that inspired me, you know, I spent not enough time with my fellow contestants for the tabletop deathmatch, but there were 2 games that I was exposed to. I didn't actually even have a chance to play either one, but I got to talk to the designers and I saw people playing them that really kind of reminded me of something that I have trouble with a game. Sadly, I don't remember their names now off the top of my head, but the team that made Discount Salmon and Fart Party. Both of them are fun party games, and they were finalists in the tabletop deathmatch. And again, I didn't have a chance to play either one, but watching a group of people at a table at a bar play those, and just the uproarious laughter coming from those groups of people, just the pure fun that they were having on just really simple, silly games. That was really inspiring. You know, that was really exciting. And that's something I always think about strategy. You know, I always think about mechanical things and does A plus B equal C? Is it okay that A plus B equals C? What if A plus B sometimes equal D? You know, right. I think of mechanics and I think of strategy. But I don't think about humor as much as I feel like I try to, but I haven't been able to grasp that to the extent that those guys clearly did.
Right.
You know? And that's really exciting and really challenging, and I feel like maybe I should try and reach out for that more.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Thank you, Ben, for that. Good question.
Right. And one last one here from our friend Will here. He says, any games you let sit that you're going to revisit, finish, or revamp next year?
You know, for me, I think kind of what I've got on my plate at the end of the year is the stuff, you know, I mean, Gunslinger and Ramblers, maybe. I mean, that's going to get, it's getting pretty much revamped.
Yeah, it's going to need it.
Based on feedback.
Right.
But I mean, it's not like it just was sitting all year. I mean, we were trying to make progress, so they were just failing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Sandbox Showdown may get revamped based on some publisher feedback I got on that. So, but that remains to be seen. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you?
Well, I still want to do a little revamp on Rumplebum, remember? Want to add some more artwork in there and give it a better, a new box, something that I'll be a little more pleased with long term. So that's a little bit of a revamp. I want to revisit Toilet Wars.
Yeah, that, by the way, was almost what I picked for favorite pitch.
Was it really?
Because it was like my third choice.
Is it okay? Because
it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it was actually really, really
well
designed strategy wise.
Yeah. I there were some challenges that I thought of later, thinking through the idea later. I still think it'd be fun to come back to Toilet Wars and pitch a new version of Toilet Wars every year. So I'm going to try and do that.
I'm okay with that.
And man, I still have Tyrannosaur Attack in my head.
Because it could be the greatest game you ever done. Because
it could be the greatest game that ever was.
It could be. You have to design it, though.
Well, it's designed. I just need to make it.
You need to make it.
Yeah. So anyway.
I've been trying to get you to for a while.
Yeah. I just, gosh, it's right there. It's right there. Anyway. So that, yeah, that's kind of what I've got.
Cool. I think.
That's it.
I think that wraps
that's
us
it.
Up.
That's the end of another year. Another year of board gaming. Another year of podcasting. Another
come and gone.
Year of coming up with stupid ideas. Another year of sitting in this room with you.
Yep.
Way too hot in here.
It is. It's the middle of winter and it's
too hot in here.
You know, I do want to say, though, we talked about the things we've screwed up and the things we wish we had done, but, you know, pretty happy with how this year turned out with us working on games and doing this show.
Yeah.
It's hard to not feel good about where we've come and where we're hopefully going. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I think we got a good 2014 coming. And I hope that everybody out there in internet land also has a good year. And I hope 2013 was as positive for you guys as it has been for us. As positive for you guys.
Oh, let's just end it on a bad note.
Okay.
Man, yeah.
Gangster in a voice. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. We really, really, really appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, and as always, we encourage that. You can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerland, and I am @poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook. You can give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Remember, you can get your very own copy of the Rumplebum Academy for Bug-Based Baking from the Game Crafter, and it's a great game, good for kids and adults. You can hang out with us every other Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Something From Nothing. It's our bi-weekly video Google Hangout cast thing. Me and Jason and Chevy Dodd and TC Petty and some great guests talk about games we're working on, game design in general. It's always a blast every time. And you can come on back in the new year every weekend, every Monday, a new episode. We haven't missed one yet, and we don't plan to.
We don't plan to. We may, but we don't plan to.
Right. So thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you next year. Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game.
This game, this might be better if we had like Nerf guns or something. We could just shoot each other in the face when we got tired of each
other. I
feel
like we need like sound effects or something. Yeah, you know, I don't have anything to make noises with in here.
Whoop whoop.
You know, poppers and
why do we need sound effects?
Just because it's year end, another year's passed.
What?
I mean, it's the end of the year. I mean, this is supposed to be on New Year's Eve. Everybody celebrates, and that's not going to cut it, man. It's not good.